Welcome in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Got a great show for you today, but before we get started, make sure you hit that like, that share, that sub, that notification bell, all that good stuff. And if you're listening to me on an audio platform and you're on iTunes, please leave me a good review. I appreciate it. Let's get into the show.
Hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
Okay, men, my hounds of heaven, as Admiral Thoria had said, good morning. Good morning. If you are in a time zone where it is morning. Hey, before we get started also, I forgot to mention, if you would like to be a supporter of the show, if you like your name scrolling below, as you see there, just click and go down to the description box below. Click on the Patreon link. Check out the benefits of becoming a supporter of the show. And if it's appetizing to you, go ahead and do it. Only takes a couple dollars a month to keep the show going. I appreciate it. Again, that's patreon.com/David L. Gray. Check me out there. So I want to get into the reaction to the Hope is Fuel conference first, before we get into Michael Lofton speaking to demons on the show today. So if you're around the Catholicverse, if you're on the Twitter and all those caustic places, all those places where people don't have time other than just to say nothing about nothing. There's been a lot of hoopla about Patrick Coffin hosting this conference called Hope is Fuel. So, and you can find out more about the conference just by going over to hopeisfuel.com. I'm a speaker at the conference. If you subscribe to the conference, you can get $20 off of the whole event. So it is a conference is billed as a faithful Catholic solution to combat misinformation, warfare, and a light of darkness. And so Patrick is calling this a signature Catholic course that brings together more than 30 expert speakers to tackle hot button issues and vexing challenges faced by Catholics and all Christians today. Catholic on purpose is not apologetics, but a practical application of our faith, providing real solutions to problems faced by disciples of Jesus Christ every day. So it looks like a really great conference, and it had an amazing lineup of speakers. People like John Henry Weston, Christopher West. Who else you might know here? E. Michael Jones, Dr. E. Michael Jones, he's speaking there. Jesse Romero speaking. Father John Lovell, who's been a guest on the show many times. Tim Gordon, who's also been on this show. His wife also, Stephanie Gordon. She's going to be on the show. David Torkington, who I talk quite often to on email, but we never really connect for him to get onto the show, but I like him a lot. He's into the mystical theology and understanding how to be saints. Abby Johnson is going to be at this conference as well. So Dr. Edmund Modza, me. So a lot of great speakers. So I think it's worth your time. And I think Patrick Coffin also, if you use my discount code, David L. Gray, I think the course then goes down to maybe $100 or something like that, 120. But then you could get it, then you could pay to like installments as well. So he makes it really affordable and easy to get some tools to help you deal with some of life's challenges. But anyway, so it looked to be like a really great conference, right? A really great opportunity to have some online resources for you to just watch at your convenience online. Like, it wouldn't be like a one time, it wouldn't be a conference like all of us are there. These would be individual recordings that you can watch, I think, within a span of like a year. Okay. So, sounded great. But there are some other speakers who were initially billed at this conference, who were initially booked, some of them who had already recorded their talk. Some of those people included Father Robert Spitzer. I don't really know him. There's Jennifer Roback Morris, who was on this show maybe a year or two ago. Jeff Cavins, he was a speaker. Father Dwight Longnecker, he was on my radio show, Voicing Truth and Reason, spoke with him. Ken Hensley, I think he was on my radio show. Joseph Pierce, Dr. Janet Smith, Bradley, I don't know who that guy is. Lisa Duffy, I don't know who she is. Greg and Julie Alexander, I don't know who they are. Noel Meeting, I don't know who she is. Dr. Ralph Martin, who we were supposed to do a show yesterday, but we got our wires crossed. I don't know some of these people, right? So Dr. Ray Gurindi from EWTN. Peter Kwasniewski, he was supposed to be at the conference. You know, he's been on my show a couple times. So what happened was a couple things. So the libs, the Catholic liberals, quasi-heretics in the Catholic Church, who I don't know why anyone would try to make happy. I don't know why anyone would try to appeal to them. They got wind of this event, and they got all upset because Dr. E. Michael Jones, again, who's been on the show, we talked. A lot of you guys had asked me to have him on here for years. You had asked me, hey, can you have Dr. E. Michael Jones on the show? So I got him on. So he came on, and he's going to be a guest. And so the libs got very angry and upset about this because they think Dr. E. Michael Jones is some sort of anti-Jew, right? The word Semitic itself is problematic, right? I don't know why people call Ashkenazi Jews, why they call them Semites, right? Call them Semitic. Ashkenazi Jews, I don't think they ever spoke the Semitic tongue. But anyway, that's a whole different thing. But anyway, Dr. Yemi Jones is supposed to be an anti-Semite. And so they say, oh, how can you be on the same platform as Dr. E. Michael Jones when he is an anti-Semite? How can that be the case? And so they apply pressure to a lot of these mainstream Catholics, a lot of these establishment Catholics, to back out of the conference. And a lot of them did. So that piece was going on. Pressure being applied by liberal Catholics saying you should not associate yourself with Dr. E. Michael Jones. Liberal Catholics who are never going to purchase, who are never going to subscribe to Hope is Fuel, who are never going to receive the content or purchase the content or digest the content, none of that. They pressure people who were going to speak on this platform, pressure them to back out because of mere association. Like somehow the stank of E. Michael Jones was somehow going to rub off on you and you're going to be stanky after that. As if that's how credibility works, that because you were going to be there, that somehow that made E. Michael Jones being there make him appear to be more credible, as if that's how credibility works. All right. I don't think that's how it works. I remember when Donald Trump, he was president. I think this is when he was just running for president. He's saying, oh, yeah, I'll meet with Kim Jong-un, whoever the president of North Korea is, the dictator. I'll speak with Putin. And the liberal media said, oh, if you meet with these people, if you meet with these dictators, you'll give them credibility. But he did. And the world was a much more peaceful place. It was much more peaceful by meeting with people and dialoguing with them. Right. So, but anyway, this is the argument that if you go there, somehow your credibility will rub off on them. And now they'll be more credible. I think it's weak, but it's how weird people think. So that piece was going on. E. Michael Jones being an anti-Semite got a lot of people to back out from the Hope is Fuel conference. And then the other piece was that they started saying, well, how can you even be on the same platform as Patrick Coffin? Because he's some sort of set of a conscience. Because Patrick does believe that his seat is vacant. He does believe that seat is vacant because he believes that Pope Benedict XVI did not resign according to the rubrics of how a pope should resign. And therefore, he is still pope. And when he died, there hasn't been a pope since. Okay. I think that was the consistent position for Patrick to hold. I respect people who hold consistent positions. His position doesn't necessarily mean anything. Either it's true or it's not true. It doesn't affect anyone's faith. It doesn't. But because, you know, that was just one more thing to add on to this pile of crap of getting people to back out the conference. And so more people backed out. And so that's the list of people who have backed out. And I think it's really unfortunate for a number of things. You know why? I think it says more about them than it says about Patrick. I think it says more about the people who backed out of the conference than it says about those who, it says more about them than it says about the conference itself. I think there's a lot of mainstream, a lot of establishment Catholics who want very deeply in their heart to be like a Father Mike Smits, or to be like a Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, who can go practically anywhere, who can be accepted anywhere, who has structured their ministry perfectly as any politician, almost as perfectly as Barack Obama was. His whole political career was very manicured, aside from the fact that he was gay. That, you know, but nobody was ever allowed to talk about that. Again, that's part of the manicuring, all right? So Father Mike Smits, people like Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, they have a very manicured presentation or ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's wonderful. They can go into any room. And so you have people like the ones I mentioned, like Dr. Peter Kwasniewski and Dr. Janet Smith, Father Dwight Longenecker. They want that same clout as a Father Mike Smits. They want to be able to go anywhere. So they think by associating with someone like Dr. E. Michael Jones or Patrick Coffin, they say, oh, I may lose some sort of credibility with the mainstream Catholic establishment. You know, my speaking fees, my speaking opportunities are going to go down. People will not no longer listen. They were trying to protect something. That's the bottom line. They arrived, they fell into some sort of position because of public pressure from liberals, liberal Catholics, quasi heretics. They felt pressure from them. And for whatever reason, they felt something in their life was threatened. And so what do people do when they feel threatened? Well, there's only two responses. Either they fight or they flee, right? It's either fight or flight. Those are the only two reactions. And which one are you built for? When things get, when there's some sort of apparent threat, when there's some sort of apparent threat in your life, either a real threat or an apparent threat, who are you? Are you a fighter or are you a flighter? Which one? Those are only two responses. Okay. Which one are you built for? There's just a lot of people who have never been in a street fight. There's a lot of people who have never been through any real suffering. And people who never been in street fights, people who never been through real suffering, are people who have a flight mentality. At the first face of trouble, at the first face of them feeling like something in their life is being threatened, whether it's their reputation, whether it's their ego, whatever superficial thing that they've built up, whatever fake thing that they built up, whatever that thing is that they cannot take with them on Judgment Day, whatever that is, whatever fake thing that is that they can't take with them beyond a grave. Once that thing is threatened, they're either going to fight or they're going to run as far as they can. And these people ran. Now, you have people like Dr. Peter Kwasniewski, right, who say, oh, this wasn't about me being a coward. And he probably believes that, right? And I think other people are at liberty to have their own perspective. I know I do. Because I'm just built different. I just am. Patrick's my friend. I don't agree with him on everything. He probably won't agree with me on a death penalty. That's fine. Whatever. But when he calls me and say, hey, can you speak at this conference? Can you do a talk here? I say, yes. He's helped me out. I helped him out. And I think that's what friends do. And also, when I show up somewhere, only thing I represent is the mission that God gave me. I represent myself. I represent my family. My mere presence doesn't rub off on anyone else, nor does anyone else's presence rub off on me. This is David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Let me get to some of your comments about that, and then we'll get into Michael Lofton, him speaking to demons. But yeah, I was really tickled how liberal Catholics made a big deal out of this. I mean, you go over to Twitter, you can see them. Go over to Glorious Purvis's, her Twitter account. You know, listen, their penises and their penises are hard and their panties are wet. They couldn't wait. I mean, they're just so turned on by this whole thing. And they feel so validated that these mainstream establishment Catholics backed out. And it's really weird that the argument was that, hey, if you speak on this platform, you'll give Patrick Coffin credibility. You'll give E. Michael Jones credibility. But what's really happened? What's happened here? When they backed out, you know who they gave credibility? You know who they rubbed off on, their prestige or whatever, their ego? You know who that rubbed off on? The liberal Catholics. Over at Where Is Peter, that heretical online trash dump, who published a whole spread about the hopeless fuel, how bad it is, how anti-Semitic it is. By them backing out, they gave that liberal trash rag their credibility. Because they said, you guys are right. And they boosted up their prestige. People like Don Eden. Who else? I don't know. It's really too many heretics to name. That's who they gave credibility to. Let me get some of your comments. I don't know what Jeremiah Jack Michael is saying here. He's saying, David, please help. No one who wants to be a charitable Catholic fall into bashing focus fuel. It's literally called hopeless fuel, no SETI. Yeah. I mean, name a conference itself as hopeless fuel. Dr. E. Michael Jones wasn't there talking about his so-called anti-Semitic views. No one is there talking about anything quasi-controversial. People are talking about hope is fuel. People there are talking about hope. But some people are just hopeless. Mary's back. Hey, Mary. Yeah, again, Michael says that there's not a relationship between Patrick Coffin isn't there at Hopeless Fuel talking about how Pope Francis is not actually the Pope, his view, right? He's not there talking about that. And it's really strange how like adult people with functioning adult minds cannot compartmentalize. If I lacked the ability to compartmentalize, I probably couldn't be like a sports fan. I probably couldn't listen to music. I probably couldn't shop anywhere. I probably couldn't do anything if you can't compartmentalize. I probably wouldn't even be able to put fuel in my car because the people who are propping this fuel out of the ground, people who are transporting it, are some of the most evil corporations in the world. But yeah, no, I'm just not going to get fuel because my credibility is going to be associated with Exxon. Come on. I mean, that's not even how the adult brain works. I don't know, man. I don't know. Mary says, so many get lost in the weeds these days. I think they really do. I mean, what did you come to the conference to speak about? What are you going to speak about? I mean, what is Kwasniewski going to speak about? What is Janet Smith going to speak about? I don't know. It's not even here anymore. Michael Lee says, I was raised Catholic and fell off as a teenager. The more I try to come back to my faith, the more I feel like a Pharisee. It's so disheartening, to be honest. Yeah, I think that's a lot of people's perspective, Michael. I mean, but I think you just have to remember that the main reason, some people say the only reason, the central reason to be Catholic is because of the Holy Eucharist. I mean, the command in Exodus chapter 12, it was a perpetual command from God that he said three times. Think of three or four times. He says, this is a perpetual command. He laid out the Passover feast. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. He became the Lamb. His blood became our drink for eternal life. Jesus Christ says, he himself says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Catholic Church and the Orthodox are the only ones still following that perpetual command from God. And Jesus, he fulfills that command when he says, do this in any memento of me. In English says, do this in memory of me. But the Greek is, do this in perpetual way to me. So in the Old Covenant, Exodus 12, Jesus, God calls this a perpetual command. And then in John, Jesus calls, in all the Gospels, Jesus calls, says, this is, do this in perpetual way. So this is a fulfillment. So, and this is the main reason to be Catholic, that you are obeying God and following his command to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. And so some reasons not to be Catholic, right? People, right? But that doesn't even matter. I mean, the command isn't to be happy about all the weeds in the church, or to be happy with all the people in the church. That isn't a command. The command is to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that's why you're Catholic. That's what the focus has to be on. And I know modern churches, you look at modern churches, they take the focus off of what we're supposed to be focusing on. But just think in your head about the old Gothic, the Romanesque sort of churches and how they were just so linear and how the focus was on the altar. In on the sacrifice. That's what we're there for. Think about every procession in the church, every procession, whether it's the entrance procession, whether it's the altar service processing to the altar, whether it's the communion line, everything is processing towards our salvation. Everything is processing towards Calvary. Everything is processing towards the sacrifice. That's what you have to focus on. That's the reason why you're Catholic. It's not all this other stuff. So don't be distracted. Yvonne says, it reminds me of Catholic cancel culture. Isn't that amazing, Yvonne? How Catholics who always get angry about cancel culture, how we, you know, pointed our finger at liberals all those years for canceling, right? How we were upset recently about Tucker Carlson being canceled. Now them themselves canceled. And they weren't just pulling out on this event by Patrick Coffin. They weren't just pulling out on him or the conference. They weren't just pulling out from E. Michael Jones. And as a Catholic, I just hate having to keep saying the word pull out. I haven't used the word pull out, haven't seen the word pull out so much since, man, I was a kid watching dirty movies. Why are Catholics even pulling out? We don't even believe in that, the pull out method. So let me change the word. They were withdrawing from the conference. They weren't withdrawing. They were, you know who they withdrew from? They withdrew from the Catholic faithful. they withdrew from the people who were going to purchase this series of conferences, this series of speeches. They had an opportunity to share what God gave them to say. And they said, you know what? Rather than share what God has me to say, what he's given me to say, I'm going to withdraw and I'm going to deprive the people who are going to go to this conference. So they thought they were hurting Patrick. They thought they were hurting E. Michael Jones. But all they ended up hurting was faithful Catholics. And it's disgusting and it's a shame. Yeah, Catholic guy said, do we have a list of people who dropped out? Yeah, I read the list, and you can go to hopeisfuel.com and check out the list. But I read it. A lot of names, like I said, you know, Father Robert Spitzer, Jennifer Robeck Morris, Jeff Cavins, Father Dwight Longnecker, Ken Hesley, Joseph Peer, Dr. Janice Smith, Dr. Ralph Martin, Dr. Peter Kwasniewski, Dr. Ray Grindy, and some others who I don't know, who you may know. And Yvonne says, I don't agree 100% with my friends either. Do we have to? Like, yeah, who said we have to? Like, we agree 100% with the dogma, what the church teaches. And even there, we might not always understand it, but we faithfully believe it. This high standard that we have, that we set up. Oh, I have to agree. It's so fake. It's so completely fake. Amathoria says, St. Thomas Aquinas defined effeminacy as men who don't put aside pleasure, also known as what's easy in order to pursue what is difficult. So this incident separated the soy from the boys. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Everyone on this list who withdrew, they're just not built to be fighters. None of these people who withdrew, you would ask to go into a dark alley with you. They'll run at the first sight of danger. I remember when I was speaking at the Coalition for Cancer Priest Conference last year. I think it was in Wisconsin. It's a small town. It was nighttime. And after the conference was over, some people who were there said, hey, let's go get some pizza or get something to drink. But they said, should we walk there or should we drive there? And so I said, hey, it's right down the street, just a few steps. Let's just take a walk. It's a nice night. And then somebody had pointed out, hey, man, it might be dangerous. You do have to cross the bridge. It looks a little sketchy over there. And so, I'm still like, whatever, let's go. And so one of the guys there, he's like, David, look around you. And so I looked around and all these kids, whatever, everyone was there. Some, not all of them weren't kids, some are women as well, but some guys, right? A lot of guys, they were not ready for that walk. They were not ready for any approaching danger. What could happen? And all I could do is really bust up and laugh. But it's fine. Everyone's not built like that. That's fine. Everyone's not built like that. But the thing is, the important thing is that you know who you're in the battle with. Now we know who Jennifer Robeck Morris is. We know who Jeff Cavins is. We know who Father Dwight Longnecker is. We know who Kinsley Hensley is. Ralph Martin. We know who all these people are now. That's fine. We can still listen to them. We can still buy their books. We can still support their ministry, whatever. But now we know they are not built for the fight. We know at the first sign of approaching danger, they're going to sell their soul. They're going to give up the ghost. These people are not martyrs. They're not people who are going to die for anything. Because their first duty, they've proven their first duty is to look out for their own reputation. That's it. This is kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Remember that from high school? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Right at the bottom of the pyramid is just food and safety, I think. And then there's shelter. And then it goes up job, income, yachts, right? So somewhere on their hierarchy of needs, they felt threatened. It was their reputation, whatever they had built up, their desire to be in the mainstream, be recognized by everyone. They felt that was threatened. So they had to flee. Right. That's sad. Corey says, from what I see on the website, Peter Kwasniewski is still part of conference. Now, on one I just printed out today, he is down at the bottom now because he just dropped out a couple days ago. He published like a little essay on his Facebook page saying why he dropped out. Yeah. Paul Nielsen. I should have remembered you, Paul. We should have got you into the conference. I'm going to contact Patrick, see if it's still time, because Paul has a number of good books. He should definitely have been in the Hope is Fuel. But he says, as a role model book, we need to restore our Catholic identity by learning where we've gone wrong over the last 60 plus years. Exactly. Yeah. Michelle got my joke. Yeah, the pullout. It does. Yeah. So I changed it to withdrew, right? No, the old pullout method. Back when I was a heathen. Yeah. It didn't work with our first daughter. but yeah. Birth control for broke people. Got a lot of kids in the world because of that. All right. So that's really all I know about that, man. I want to get into the Michael Lofton on the David O. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason, and him talking to demons, react to that. Holy Family Crusader says, maybe not everyone dropped out because of pressure. It's possible that a few of them had just something had come up. But here's the thing. Most of these people who withdrew had already recorded their talk. And so they contacted Patrick and said, hey, Patrick, I'm withdrawing. Do not use what I recorded. So it's not something that something came up. They actually recorded their video and then asked not to be part of the conference. So it was public pressure. It's kind of makes me question Yvonne saying if they truly believe what they're saying, because it shouldn't have mattered as long as they believe. Yeah, that's where I'm at, Yvonne. It's like, so what? Someone's at the conference speaking about, someone asked me early on Twitter. They said, would you still go to conference if someone was there speaking about abortion? Or would you go to the conference if Jesuit James Martin was there? Would you still give a talk? And I'm like, that's even more reason for me to be there. Because the thing about the light of Christ is that we have to shine the light of Christ everywhere, especially dark places. Especially dark places. So heck yeah. If Jamie Martin was there, please, someone invite me to a conference that JB Martin's going to speak at. Yeah, so it's weird. Let's transition. Let me put a new banner up. What we got here? So yeah, anyway, that's the Hope is Fuel conference. Like I said, if you want to check it out, hopeisfuel.com. And if you want a coupon so you get a discount on the conference, use mine. It's David L. Gray. Save $20. Let me put another banner up while I'm at it. What else we got here? Patreon. We talked about that. Oh, stdominicsmedia.com. You know, that's where I publish most of my stuff now, my podcasts on the readings at Mass, my courses that I'm doing on the catechism, on Freemasonry, on the liturgy. All the ebooks, classic ebooks we have published there, which are all free, and also the books we published. stdominicsmedia.com, podcasts, essays, theology courses, and free books. All right, this is David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. So Michael Lofton, who, by the way, also had like an erection about this whole Hope is Fuel thing, right? He was so giddy to talk about it. Oh, the trads are fighting. The trads are fighting each other. Oh my gosh. But he had Father Carlos Martin on his show. And I thought this is a really interesting video that I wanted to react to. Right. Yvonne's laughing at me. But yeah, I'm sorry if I'm describing it that way, but I when I see Where Is Peter and just all these liberals, all these leftists, like so excited about trash not agreeing. It's just weird to me. But here's a good video though. Actually, I actually like this video. So let's react to this. I'm gonna get some of your comments as well. Let's check this out. So this is a short clip. It is Father Carlos Martin, and he's an exorcist, and he's speaking with Michael Lofton from Reason and Theology.
The exorcist you mentioned of Annalise Michelle, the exorcist involved there, there's supposed to be a transcript of the things they were asking the demon. They were asking the demon, like, what do you think of Marcel Lefebvre? And what do you think about this? And is it, what about communion in the hand? And I've seen people go with what the demon said in those cases as gospel truth, and they will say, well, they were compelled to speak the truth, and therefore we need to believe their answer about communion in the hand. Or,
and what Michael, so the context of this interview is that and you can watch the whole thing, you go to Reason and Theology, I think it's a longer video, I didn't watch the whole thing, just watch a couple clips. But so he's talking to his exorcist, and this topic comes up because this is like something that, like, sort of I'm very uncomfortable with myself. Very, very uncomfortable with myself. It's one, the fascination that people have with what demons say during exorcisms. Second, exorcists sharing what demons say in exorcisms. I'm very uncomfortable with both of those. And I should put this disclaimer out. You know, always, you know, you may have heard me say from a time, you know, sometime in the past that hostage to the devil. The name of the author just slipped my mind. Famous author. Hostage to the Devil used to be one of my favorite books when I first became a Catholic, because it's a book all about exorcisms and some of the things demons said during exorcisms. But over time, especially with like this modern craze that we have, this modern appetite that we have of interviewing exorcists on YouTube and at conferences, and we seem to become so titillated by the conversations that exorcists have with demons in interviews, I'm very uncomfortable with that. I'm uncomfortable with how fascinated we are with that. And I'm uncomfortable with these priests, these exorcists sharing gossip from the exorcism room. And what Michael is pointing out here with this question is that some of these priests are, exorcists are asking some of these these demons, just like, I think they're titillated. I think they have an erection themselves, talking to demons about stuff. And they think because the demons is supposedly under some sort of compulsion to tell the truth, that a demon would tell the truth, which doesn't make sense. Satan is the father of lies. These are demons. They have no truth in them. There may be some truth sprinkled in there, but we have to discern that. But why should we have to be... why should we trust demons for revelation? Like, what is that? So, and I was at a conference once, and Father Rippinger was there. And he's at this conference, and he's just sharing all this gossip out of an exorcism that he did. Oh, several exorcisms. And he seems to just be salivating at the mouth as he's talking. Like, just couldn't wait to share. Oh, this demon said this, and this demon said that, and this demon said this. I don't give a fool nanny what a demon says. That's not even entertaining to me. It's a freaking demon. But so that's the context of what's going on.
Lefebvre. What do you think about us banking on that? And more importantly, exorcists dabbling in trying to find information about these things. Is that kind of like playing with a Ouija board or?
Well, it is. That's exactly what it is, right? Like you have exited the realm of the rational and the real and the spiritually prudent, and you have entered into a very dangerous realm. We can never, and in the church's history, it has never gone to demons for truth. Never. That is outside the church's experience. Christ is the spirit of truth. Christ is the truth that we seek. And so when we go up against the father of lies, we do so in the authority of Christ, and we can only trust that he is compelled to speak the truth in this particular instance to reduce his ministry and eliminate it and free the individual that he has held in a power. Otherwise, what is the difference between that and a Ouija board? And in asking the demon knowledge, occult knowledge, you're asking the demon occult knowledge, you are forming a relationship with him.
And I think Yvonne hadn't even really heard that. Yvonne hadn't even heard that part yet, but she responded previous to saying, curiosity, we do have to watch that. I know that they are trying to combat the rise in witchcraft. And I think that like is spot on about what Father Carlos Martin is saying here, is that what's the difference between having these conversations in these exorcisms where you're asking the demon for occult knowledge versus a Ouija board? Like, what's the difference? You can pull out a Ouija board and ask a demon a question, he'll give you an answer. Or you can ask a demon a question in an exorcism, he'll give you an answer. Either way, you're asking a demon to tell you something. And this is occult knowledge. It's also Gnostic. When these priests come out of these exorcisms and then they come to these conferences or they do these videos and these interviews and they want to share information from demons. And you have people out here taking this information from the demons as gospel. Oh, you know what a demon said? Applying it to their spiritual life. Oh, a demon said this, that I should pray the rosary this many times. They're scared of the rosary. We know that. We know that from Fatima. We know that from Our Lady of Cahibo. So many different apparitions of Mary. We know that. What makes that information from a demon more valuable than Mary? This is Gnostic. This is occult information. I thought that was a great point that Father Martin said. Ouija board or exorcism?
And that is horrifically dangerous.
Because one opens oneself up to possession at that point.
Bet. And then you may want to end that relationship, but guess what? The devil doesn't. Mm-hmm. You've welcomed.
Oh, listen to that. So it's the same as a Ouija board. You've established a relationship through communication. Now, in exorcism, there's two different things. There's things that the exorcist will say to the demon, questions that the exorcist will ask the demon, in direct relationship to the exorcism itself. That's one thing. How long have you been in this person? What is your name? What caused the possession? How many are in there with you? Are there any objects that you're possessing in this room? There's some just basic standard questions that the exorcist is going to ask the demon that's in direct relationship to the exorcism, in relationship to them casting them out. Again, how long have you been here? What caused the possession? What's the level of ascent? Are there anybody there with you? What's your name? Just standard questions. And that's really all the priest needs. Why is the priest asking about Lefebvre? Asking about communion in a hand? What is that? This is scandalous. This is gossipy. And it's not even helpful to the person being under possession. How's that even helpful? It's like the priest is using the person who is possessed. There's a usury sort of relationship here. Oh, I'm going to use you to get to extract some information from a demon. It's like waterboarding. Like, what is this? An FBI sort of, a CIA sort of interrogation? What is this? It's just weird. But there's a relationship that's being established, whether it's a Ouija board or whether it's this exorcism with these off-topic questions. There's a relationship being established between yourself and the demon. And as Father Martin says here, the demon may not want to let that relationship go. Once a demon starts talking to you, once you start having conversations with a demon, you just open your door to all sorts of trouble. Ask any woman at a bar who had to start having conversations with a perv, with a creep. Do not talk to creeps at bars. Right? Don't accept a drink from a creep. Don't. You're opening yourself up to all types of just trouble you don't even need, right? You can spot a creep. Don't talk to him, right? It's even worse in this case.
What he has to offer. And so he's just fine keeping that relationship. This is the danger.
Yeah, it's
when I go into an exorcism, I don't converse with a demon. Mm-hmm. I issue commands. I never answer a question. I give a command. Any information I elicit from him is mm-hmm. only pertaining to the matter at hand, to liberate this individual who's ensnared.
And that's all it should be. If any priest comes out of an exorcism, or he's at a conference, or he's doing some sort of video, and he's like too happy to tell you about all of this personal information that he got from his exorcism, be very wary about that priest. He's suspect. First, because exorcism does not have the vow of privacy or vow of secrecy attached to it as confession. That's true. A priest is not bound to keep matters discussed in the exorcism private. That's true. But what I'm saying, be wary, is that this was private conversation between a priest and a demon that he's now drawing you into. So by proxy, the priest has now put you in relationship with that demon. He's put you into communication with the demon. It's as if I were to sit here and tell you a personal story. I tell you the person's name, you have a lot of details, and I share with you a personal story. You and a person who I've told you that story about, everything that they said, you may not ever meet that person. You may not have ever met them. You may not have a direct relationship. But because I've told you verbatim everything that they said, you may feel a sense of relationship. Oh, I have some insight to how that person thinks. or I feel some sort of connection because I've heard directly from them. This is how communication works. We feel that way with the Gospels, right? With the truth of Jesus Christ. We weren't there, but we have eyewitness accounts. Or this is what Jesus said, and we connect with that. And through that, we would say we have some sort of personal relationship with Jesus Christ because we heard his word. Some people may not be ready, may not have the spiritual maturity to hear words from demons. And those words may attach to them because words have power. And so be very wary of priests who are without being circumspect at all, are so easily, are very, I would say, they have no reservation in regards to just letting you in on words from a demon, communicating to you words from demons without even a sort of care for your soul, without even thinking, how may these words from this demon affect this person? What's their spiritual maturity? People could be greatly harmed from occult information from demons. Madeline says the demons must be rubbing their hands in glee at what Michael Lofton does and says. Diane says, don't open a portal. Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think that's spot on. Yvonne says, I really enjoy Father Martin's podcast. It is really a catechesis on the faith. I had never heard of him until this video, so I'm definitely going to have to check him out based upon your recommendation. Madeline says, how refreshing to hear Father speaking common sense and the truth. Let's play some more.
Yeah, I certainly see the danger there for the exorcist asking these kinds of inappropriate questions, but also for anybody who's out there who listens to this stuff and banks on it in opposition to maybe what the church has said or the magisterium. In this case, it's as if people are literally foregoing what the church says for the word of a demon. It's like a parallel magisterium.
Exactly.
In some sort.
And that's a dangerous place to be in, right? Because the first parallel magisterium is the demonic community, right? They set up their parallel governance in opposition to God.
Did God really say?
Yeah. Exactly. Did God really say, Eve? Did he really say, don't eat any? So right away, they distorted they approached Eve with a distortion. And, Eve, her first mistake was entering into that conversation.
And that's a good point because, again, we're certain. It's kind of what Malachi Martin, and thanks to who I posted it. Karen, I posted it. Malachi Martin is the author to Hostage of the Devil. He wrote a number of other good books. What's the one he wrote about the Jesuits? House Swept Clean or something like that. Good author, fiction and nonfiction. A demon is going to say something true. You don't have to worry about that. But he's also going to tell a whole lot of lies mixed into that truth. Because that's the demon's nature. And so we have to be very cautious about discerning what we hear from demons. We're better off not hearing from demons at all. Honestly, we're better off exorcists never telling us what happens in exorcisms. We're better off ever hearing anything because it's not divine revelation. It doesn't affect our faith whatsoever. I think it's good enough to know that exorcisms are real, that there is true evil in this world operating. I think that's good enough without us having to hear personal details and gossip and detraction and all the fake news that's coming out of the mouths of demons in these exorcisms. We don't even need that. What we need is divine revelation. What we need is Like the people clamored, said, "Show us Jesus." Like Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. What we need is Christ. We don't need anything from demons. We really don't.
Conversation, that dialogue, you know, which she and Adam was standing right next to her, and he permitted her to do it. Now people can say, "Well, they were created in innocence, and how were they to know?" Well, they knew enough that the one who created them is a being of logic and has given everything for their good. So they knew God needed to be trusted by faith. And the devil is presenting an alternative reality, and that should have, there should have been alarms and sirens going off saying, "Hey, danger, get the heck out of here. This is not the place to be."
Hey, thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit the
bye, Michael. So yeah, so that's my reaction to that whole thing. Let me know if you guys have any other comments about that. But that's where I'm at. I don't want to hear anything else about what demons have to say. I think next time I'm at a conference or something, I hear a priest starting that whole gossip. Like, this demon said this, or this exorcism was going on, and this demon said this, and I was doing this, and then I asked the demon this, and you would never guess what he said. Bye, Felicia. I don't need to hear any of that. All right, so anyway, Amathoria, let me read this comment. Oh, she's responding to Diane. "I know people who have podcasts on ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, etc. Another podcast begins with protection player because things happen to them." Yeah. And Amathoria, I don't even know. We're not even going to talk about UFOs. I could have a whole UFO channel. So, because I believe in mer people. So, all right, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. I'll see you all tomorrow. Jason Izolt, he'll be back on the show. I think we're going to talk about. Don't quote me on this because the topic may change, but I think right now we're going to talk about Candace Owens and Jason Whitlock becoming Catholic. I think that's what we're going to talk about, but don't hold me to that, because if something comes up, our topic may change. But we'll be back tomorrow. It will be a afternoon show after about 4 or 5 Eastern your time. And I don't know why Admiral Thor is laughing at me. I really do. I need to do like a whole mermaid show, a whole merman show, to give you guys my proof that mer people are real? Do I need to do that show? I don't want to. I don't want to bring that over to this channel. That's my personal life. And it's because Admiral Thor is laughing at me. Now I feel like I have to make the case that mer people are real. So maybe I'll do it. And thanks, Michelle, for becoming a member of the YouTube channel. I really appreciate your support. And I will see you guys on the next time. God bless you. I'll keep you in my prayers, and please keep me in yours. Peace.